You got your Bibles? Open up to Galatians 5:6. It says here, this New Living Translation, it says, "For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love." We know faith works by love. That is the engine that drives our hearts, and everything we do and how we do it is through love. Doesn't matter. Faith works and expresses itself through love. You can't make yourself right with God by doing good works. This is what Paul was telling you, talking about in this passage. Good works isn't going to cut it. Getting yourself back into bondage and under the law is not going to cut it, because Jesus has already done everything for you. So we place our faith in Christ Jesus. You can't make yourself right with God by doing good works. It doesn't matter how much you do. What ends up happening is that you put yourself back into bondage when he's already set you free. Now, we don't want to go back to Egypt. We don't want to go back in bondage. He's already set us free. Bible says he has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Why on earth would we ever want to go back to that? And it's crazy, because sometimes we end up doing that ourselves unknowingly. So basically, anyone who seeks to be justified by their works, Paul is saying they have fallen from grace. You know how many people try to attach this passage of scripture to other people just so they can talk about them being in bondage? Well, they're trying to justify their works. They're trying to be justified by their works. No, that's just their faith working through love. But they'll take it out of context to say that that person has fallen from grace. We got to understand that we are the household of faith. And I talked about this a few weeks ago, where it just like seems like in the body of Christ that we are just in that practice mode where we have an offense and a defense, and we're just coming against each other. That's the enemy doing that. That's the enemy doing that, pitting us up against one another. We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. There's the spirit behind it. But you can't ever attach, or you can't, Satan will never ever flee from you if you're not submitted to God. And you have to be submitted to God. You have to be submitted to God. Faith works by love. And without faith, our works are dead. So there has to be some evidence of God in our lives. I said, man, that person was just cool, calm, collective. I said, understand, Jesus wasn't just cool, calm, collective all the way through. Read the Gospels. He wasn't just cool. I said, you realize serial killers can stay cool. They can go out and kill somebody, literally, and then be behind a tape where the police have crossed it off and be like, you know, hey, what's going on here? What's going on? They can be cool. But we're not, so we have our feelings, we have our emotions, but we're not allowing those emotions and those feelings to run our faith. Faith is expressed through love. Through love. Love is an action word. That's where we go. The way that God wants his children to be perfected or transformed is through his word rather than through our works. See, Jesus didn't go around. And then when I'm talking about the practice thing, Jesus didn't go around trying to go at his disciples. He gave them that authority because they were submitted to him. He gave them that authority. He sent them out to trample over the serpents and scorpions. He wasn't the one that was trying to be a blocker in that. Go out and do what you're called to do. And when you're doing that, when you're living that type of life, you're going to get a lot of pushback from hell. But see, even he says, I give you the keys to the kingdom, and the gates of hell will not be able to what? Prevail against it. So no matter if you are getting that pushback from the enemy, you're still doing what you're called to do. And what we end up doing as believers is we end up coming against one another. That's why I speak on, when we're talking about love, the love walk is a two-way street. This side can't be saying, well, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to be walking in love. But yet this side over here is doing everything they can in order to put you in bondage, to try to bully you, to try to intimidate you, to try to get you off course. they're supposed to be demonstrating love. Same way as you. And we always have that one that want to hit somebody first. You know, as kids growing up and stuff, you'll go to one, or I said, you know, you have that troublemaker in the family. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you were troublemakers in your family? You start the stuff, and then your brother or sister hits you right back at the side of the head or something like that, and you go crying to your mom, Mom, Julius hit me. Well, what did you do? Oh, nothing. Nothing. I didn't do anything. I said, people, even in life, there's people who will do that in today's time. One of the people types of people you never trust in life is the one that will play the victim in their own chaos that they create. You never trust an individual. They will start the stuff and then go behind the scenes and play the victim. So when Jesus wants us to grow, when we're supposed to grow, it's by planting that word. We saw a video this past Wednesday night. Andrew Womack was talking about planting the word in your heart. That's the way that God wants us growing. I'm not going to make Richard grow by constantly just beating him down. Richard, get in the word. Allow the word of God to transform your heart. You got to plant it. We all got to plant it. We all have to do our part in planting in our own garden. We got to do our weeding out. If there's weeds in there, let's get them out. But we got to continue to water that good seed because it's incorruptible seed. And so we plant these things in our heart. And when it's taking place, underground is growing those roots. It's taking place. It's growing, it's growing, it's growing. And then it's going to pop out a blade. But the thing is, it's still growing. You keep watering. You don't pluck it up. We don't pluck it up. So it's pretty simple. It's a pretty simple concept when we're talking about planting the word in our heart. It's a pretty simple concept when we're talking about faith works by love. It doesn't work by love bombing. We can put this mask on sometimes and pretend that we love someone. But see, God is the one who discerns our hearts. He knows whether or not we're in faith. Our faith won't work. Lord, I've been believing for this and it ain't happening. How come? You need to check your love walk. How's your love walk? My faith works. Regardless of what other people say, that person over there is not the narrator for my life. He is. I'm living by his word. It doesn't matter what that person over there is saying. That person over there is saying, this person back over here is saying, that person over there. It doesn't matter what they're saying. God knows whether or not your heart is right. But when we put on a mask, we can fool one another. But you can't fool God, because the way you receive those spiritual blessings is by faith expressing itself through love. So if your faith is weak and you feel that your faith is weak, then you have to check up on your love walk. You might be getting low a little bit. There's a time when I first got my car, man, I forgot to put oil in it. I was 18, I got my car, I was driving all over California and stuff. Well, southern part, I forgot to put oil in it. And then when I said, thank God I made it there to get it checked up or what have you. And then, because I was used to the oil being so dirty, you know, and then they changed the oil and then it was like clear. And then I thought, well, they didn't really put any in it, so I put more oil in it. Man, I'm over here smoking on the highway, just, what is all that smoke coming from? That's didn't know. Sometimes you're going to learn the hard way. But see, God wants our faith to be strong. If our faith in God can't bring to pass the spiritual blessings that God has freely given us, then we're going to have to find out where we're missing it. And this year, earlier in this year, I labeled it, I believe the Lord had given that to me, to call it the year of obedience. You know, I've had more pushback than I've ever had in my life by the enemy to get me to disobey what the Lord has told me to do. More pushback in my life, more so than ever before, to get me to compromise. I won't do it. That answer is no. It will always be no to the Satan, to enemy, to whoever. We got to get to the place to where we stop being believers that are pleasing to other people. Sometimes we want to please people too much more so than being pleasing to God. Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please who? People? God. And we're trying to be pleasing to other people and bring what other people want to pass in our life. I want what God wants for us. I want what God wants for me. I don't want what somebody else wants for me, because what they want is a distorted version of what God can give me. It's watered down. It's not the same. They can't be everything to me. God is everything to me. I'm not dependent upon any man. First of all, my dad didn't raise me that way to be dependent upon any man. So I have to be trusting and dependent upon the Lord. Putting other people's opinion above being obedient to God and his word will always get you out of will of God for your life. It will always get you out of the will of God for your the life. Your goal every day should be to please God, not man. And not Satan. And not our flesh. It's to be pleasing to God. See, the enemy don't want you swinging back and fighting with the word. Right? He comes to steal, kill, destroy. If he can keep you from using the word in your situation, he's got you beat. Because you ain't going to be able to defeat him in your carnal self. The word of God is a weapon. It's a sword. It's the sword of the spirit. And it's sharp. We have to use that in those situations. You got stuff happening in your home. You've got to be able to use the word of God and come against that. That's it, because you have to be armed and dangerous against the kingdom of darkness. When the enemy thought he had you down and out for a count, get up and swing. Get up and swing that sword, and you're going to get into that word. Write it down. Write as many scriptures as you down, and just print it out and put it on your wall. So you know to go to that every single time. Oh, that's my go-to right there. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's my go-to. Well, that doesn't work. Yes, it does. Because you're submitting yourself to God and his word. And when you resist the devil, you actively fight against the devil. It says he will do what? Flee. You don't keep him around like a pet. We should want what God wants for us. And some people want what they want for themselves. Part of what I've spoken about in our after we had our board meeting and stuff, is that we're not going to have a selfish agenda. It ain't about me, it ain't about anybody else. It's about the kingdom. Now, I know I share sometimes my testimony and stuff like that too. But it's not about me. And it's not about anybody else's agenda. Because that doesn't take precedence over God and what he wants for Westview Church and for this city. So the enemy will always, always try to push back. So we have to get out of this attitude that it's all about me, but it's about Jesus. We got to understand that self-centeredness is the source of all grief. So if you constantly hide your intentions with other people, God can't fully heal what's going on in your life. He cannot heal what we conceal. Well, God knows what's going on in my heart. Yeah, but you haven't told him. He's not just going to invade your life any kind of way. It's a communication thing. It's a relationship. You're going to have to tell him, Lord, this is what I'm dealing with. And be open and transparent with him. You can't fool God. He knows. So all you have to do is get before him and say, Lord, this is what I'm dealing with and this is what's going on. And you're going to have to allow to put your faith in him, to trust in him, and allow that faith and that patience to have perfect work in your life. Because when you try to do it yourself, it gets all jacked up. Some people know how to cook. Y'all some good cooks in there, out there? Some great cooks? I know you don't make any sauerkraut anymore, do you, sir? You still do? I know if I made sauerkraut, I would rush it. It's a timely process, is it not? I would rush it and mess it all up. But see, people who know how to do it, they do it right. They take their time. I know when somebody hasn't been cooking in love. Am I lying? I'm serious. It's like it tastes different. I mean, people just take the time and whip and whip and whip and whip and whip and whip. Just, they make their own crust on stuff. That's like home-cooked meals are the best. My mother-in-law did that a lot. I mean, she saved me. I was starving in college. $90 a month living on. Those meals helped me. But she would take her time and cook it. Did it in love. When God is doing something, he's cooking some recipe in your life. He's stirring up some things. You're going to have to learn to be patient, because when you just, well, I'm going to just take it off, it's done. Well, that stuff is still jiggly in the middle. It becomes undone. It's not going to be good. It's going to be all jacked up. Next thing you know, you might be eating some raw chicken or what have you. It's like you're messing it up. Well, allow patience to have its perfect work. In 2 Timothy 3:1-5, it says, Paul is writing to Timothy about the last days here on earth. And it's so imperative that we keep our attention on the Father, because knowing him is eternal life. Jesus tells his disciples that he wants them to know the Father, because it is eternal life. Knowing the Father is eternal life. So faith and patience go hand in hand. And so sometimes when people have a selfish secret agenda and easily gets upset when someone tells them this two-letter word, no, they are not in faith and they're not in love and definitely not being patient. So we have to allow patience to have its perfect work. It says here in the Passion Translation, but you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of society will become extremely fierce. People will be self-centered, lovers of themselves, obsessed with money. They will boast of great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. They will ignore their own families. They will be ungrateful and ungodly. They will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander. Slaves to their desires, they will be ferocious, belligerent haters of what is good and right. With brutal treachery, they will act without restraint, bigoted and wrapped in clouds of their conceit. They will find their delight in the pleasures of this world more than the pleasures of the loving God. They may pretend to have a respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Stay away from people like these. Here, that's where they get it. Hey, you can love somebody from a distance. Even Paul is telling them, well, you gotta love your enemies. Yeah, your enemies. But you ain't never got a wound from an enemy. You don't bear the wounds of an enemy and the scars of an enemy. You bear the scars of somebody that was close to you, because you won't ever allow your enemy to get close to you. Paul says, stay away. Not everyone that loves you really truly loves you. So you have to use some discernment in this, in what you're doing, so that God can continue to fulfill his call in your life. Your focus should be on God, your marriage, your family. And for me, after that, it's the church and the people that God has called us to impact. You put your relationship, spouses, you put your relationship with the Lord first. You don't put your husband or your wife above God. And then the husbands and wives, y'all come together. I work at home. I don't work out here at the church. It's too lonely out here. I'm the only one. And I don't want to waste the energy being out here. Those bills are high. So I'll spend time at home nagging my wife. No, it's fine. Why? Because I'm putting my marriage above this. When someone wants to put their opinions and their agenda, their ways above what the Lord has told you, the answer is and always should be, no, thank you. I'm going to roll with what God says. I'm going to roll with what his word says. And the opinions of others should not come before what the Lord has spoken to you according to his word. So when Paul tells Timothy to stay away from people like these, he means to stay away. Stay away from them. Stay away. You know who they are. Hey, I love you. I'll catch you. I'll see you when I see you. God bless you. I'll see you when I'll catch you later. Stay away from them. Why? It's all about them. They make it all about themselves. They want all the love. They want all the attention. They want all of this. They want all of that. Stay away from them. They'll get the picture. Don't try to change them. You're not going to change them. You got to allow the word of God to change them. That's not our responsibility to change other people. But we can lead them to the word. We can lead them to scripture. But you can't make them drink. You can't make them feed from that. They're going to have to plant that word on the inside of them and water that word with more word, with prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving, with praise, and allow God to give that increase. Because if you don't love them, they will. It's because if you don't stay away from them, they will bring unnecessary chaos into your life. So we have to yield to God and His authority. And you can't have any authority unless you're yielded to Him, unless you yielded yourself to the Heavenly Father. And when you are too busy trying to get what you want from others compared to submitting yourself to the Heavenly Father, you have basically just turned in your badge. You know, we have police officers that will go at a police academy or whatever. They go through all the basic training and that sort of thing. And after they've graduated and completed it and what have you, they get that badge with their department number and their name on the badge, what have you. I said, now they have that authority. They can use it. But if they ever choose to say, you know what, I'm just done with this stuff right here, and then I'm just turning my badge, they don't have that authority anymore that the police department has granted them, that the state has granted them. They don't have that authority. When we choose to do our own thing, you're not walking under the authority of Christ anymore. When you choose to scheme against other people, you're not walking under the authority of Christ because you're not even submitted to God. You have to be submitted to God so that you can resist the devil. And if you can't resist the devil, it's because you're not submitted to God. Kind of go hand in hand right there. Simple stuff. So people, when they have a bunch of attacks happening to them, just like Paul had in 2 Corinthians 11. Now I'm going to read all this. And you can follow along. Paul had all these attacks coming against him. And people say, well, because they have an attack, they're not submitted to God. No, they are submitted to God. Paul was submitted to God. Jesus was submitted to God. It says, again, I say, don't think that I am a fool to talk like this. But even if you do, listen to me, as you will be foolish, be a foolish person while I boast a little. Such boasting is not from the Lord, but I am acting like a fool. And since others boast about their human achievements and, you know, their little participation trophies. After all, you think you are so wise, but you enjoy putting up with fools. You put up with it when someone enslaves you, takes everything you have, takes advantage of you, takes control of everything, and slaps you in the face. Stop right there on that. The Amplified Version says this, for you endure if a man assumes control of your souls and makes slaves of you, or devours your substance, spends your money, and preys, P-R-E-Y-S, upon you, or deceives and takes advantage of you, or is arrogant and puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. In the face. All right, verse 21. I'm ashamed to say that we've been too weak to do that, but whatever they dare to boast about, I'm talking like a fool again. I dare to boast about it too. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without numbers, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews as well. From the Gentiles. I have faced dangers in the cities, in the desert, on the seas, and I have faced dangers from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Now, Paul operating in the kingdom of darkness, trying to come against him. Jesus wasn't coming against him. But yet he said, Paul is going to have to find out how much he's going to have to suffer for my sake. this Christian journey, we're going to have to suffer on some things. Why? Because you're living your life boldly. Satan don't attack weak people. He attacks the strong. But we are strong in Christ, not in ourselves. So if you're facing attacks, that's just the enemy trying to get under your skin. So how do you do that? Just submit yourself to God. If you keep playing the enemy's game, he'll never leave. He says here, and going back to the practice thing with Christians, he says, I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. The love walk, two-way street. Because if you actually love somebody, you wouldn't be putting somebody in danger. They wouldn't be putting you in danger. I kind of like it, you know, one of the things, one of my favorite movies is, I'm a Western guy. I finally got the opportunity. We went to Dodge City. I was coaching. We go to Dodge City to go play. Sometimes when we go in Liberal, the coach would stop in Dodge City. We eat at Mike Tanner Mike's and stuff like that, order ahead. He was really good at that. And so, but I never got to see Dodge City, Boot Hill City Museum, man. I took a Monday off one day and I went down there and I was just like a kid in a candy store. I was like, man, this is awesome. And I'm reading about Wyatt Earp, Batmasters, all of them. I love Westerns. Tombstone is my favorite movie. Doc Holliday. Do y'all know he was a dentist? Come on now. I just found that out. My goodness. I'm your Huckleberry. But see, the one that we talk about, when I read about Revelations 21:8, but cowards, all of them, they're going to face the same. The coward in Tombstone was who? Do y'all remember? Starts with the I. He would stir everything up, but when the time came to fight, and he would always run. He would stir everything up. Ike stirred everything up, and then as soon as it was time to come to fight, Ike was gone, man. He was hiding behind everybody. Don't shoot. Man, get the fighting. You started this mess. See? As believers, we're not supposed to stir that up in one another in that sense. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift. We encourage one another to stir up the gift, not to just to stir them up just for stirring's sake. Well, I'm trying to help them to grow. Tell them to get into the word. Tell them to plant it in their heart. Because if we're doing anything else, it is not of God. That is of the devil. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but I'm helping them grow. How are you helping them grow and smearing their name? How are you helping them to grow when you're having people attack? How are you helping them to grow when you're doing this? How are you helping them to grow when Jesus never did it? How are you helping them to grow when you're causing contention? How are you helping them to grow when you're causing division? How are you helping somebody to grow when you're causing strife? That is not what Jesus did. The love walk is a two-way street. And if you can't walk the line, get out of the line. It would be like, you know, we got a duel. This man was talking about me right here. But see, the coward will have shooters up here, ready to take that person out in case he get hit. It ain't a man-to-man thing anymore. Or to try to get somebody else to fight. They got to hide behind the women and children. See, my kids don't protect me. They got my back. Why? Because dad will step right here and do it. Come on. Let's go. I'll take the brunt. Because as a pastor and as a shepherd and as a leader, you're supposed to protect. You're going to have all the stuff in your back, the knives and everything else in your back. Every man who does that. You got to be like Jesus. Gotta be like Wyatt Earp. You can even try to be like Doc Holliday or what have you. Why, Johnny Ringo looks like somebody just walked all over your grave. I'm gonna have to watch that again. See, even and one of the things I love to do, I love to spoil the enemy's plans. I love it. I love it. And here's one for ministers out there. If you ever listen to some of these ministers, whenever you go to some other place to go preach, because we are living in the last days, we are living in a time where people just want to get ahead. They just want to get more and more and more. They're lovers of money. And the Bible says that money is the root to all kinds of evil. Come on now, huh? Huh? The love of? Y'all sure? It says the love. The love of money. Y'all spot on. Come on now. The love, I was testing you. The love of money is the root to all kinds of evil. And people will want to try and get more and more and more. They don't care. They want to use information. In order to control other people, you have to control the information. So you ministers out there, when you go to other places, I would encourage you, take your own Wi-Fi hotspot. Take a burner phone if you have to. Book your own rooms. Because people will try to steal the information you got just so they can leverage you to get what you have. To get you to say what they want you to say. And I'm not going to, that's going to be a one-time shot. You can do it however you please. But in order to control the masses, to control people, to control others, you have to control the narrative. You got to control the information. And if you're going to get the information, you're going to have to learn to steal it. And if you're going to steal it, you're going to have to need people who has control over a lot of other people. Living in the last days. I don't care. I'll put information out all the time. What? You bring it back to me. I know you've been watching me. Like a hawk. Monitoring me, following me. Enjoy the show. I was talking to God. I was talking with the Lord one day, and he was like, hey, you've already been there before in your life. And I didn't know that. Why? When you were playing basketball, those coaches had tapes on you. They were watching your every move. They were watching everything you were doing. They were learning your plays, everything you were going. Then they were trying to stop you from scoring. But you still scored, right? I said, yes, sir. He goes, it ain't any different. The enemy can watch everything you do. He can come up with any kind of plan, any kind of attack. You're still going to be successful. Yes, sir. Can't stop me. You boasting about it? I said, no, let me go a step further. He can't stop you. And the only way he can get you to stop, the only way he can stop you is to get you to stop you. Satan can't stop you. And some people have been living in fear of that because fear of success. And I was there years ago. But some people have been living in a fear of success to moving up because you don't want it to spoil you. You got to understand, when you prosper in health, in your mind, you're going to prosper. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. So as you're learning more and you're growing more, God is going to continue to give you more. He's going to continue to, when you continue to be a vessel for him, you're going to continue to grow in that. You don't have to fear that. He's just going to continue to add to it. And when the Lord adds wealth, he adds no sorrow. When the Lord maketh one rich, he adds no sorrow to it. So you don't have to fear that ever again. Our dependency should be on Jesus every single day. So if we get ourselves submitted to God, we can resist the devil and he flees. And now that gets rid of all of our little schemes that we may have against one another. And we could truly walk in love with one another. And now our faith starts working immediately and we are able to speak to situations and they obey our voice. So Jesus has set you free from bondage. So you don't have to take that stuff from anyone. Don't let anybody try to enslave you with some information. He set you free. Don't allow them to take you back to Egypt. See, our urgency should be to make disciples of all nations and teaching them so they can go out and preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. But the enemy has an urgency to stop you from doing it. It becomes a crisis all of a sudden. You have two sides, two kingdoms, but only one of them wins. And I'm going to give you a hint. Jesus wins. He's already won. So roll with him. Satan's trying to delay what's coming to him as much as he can. So he has to try and stop the church, get us fighting, bickering, arguing, causing division with one another. I'm going to just tell you right now, you ain't going to be able to stop me. Right now, you won't be able to. Why? I'm yielded to God. And I know the plans and purposes that he has for my life. And I already know. I told somebody, I already know how much time I got. It's not long. Why? Because he's going to have something else for me. Is it 30, 40? No. It's less than 20. I already know. So you try to come in between that. I feel sorry for you. I'm going to bust you. But I'm going to do it in love, hopefully. So it's time for us to grow up in Christ. And how we do that? By yielding to him every single day. You're not going to do it perfectly. So if you mess up, just go back, fess up, mess up, fess up. Lord, I missed it in this one. I'm asking you to help me in this arena. I did it on my own. I was like the dude in, you know, the battle of AI. I went ahead and did my own thing. I kept something back for myself. Well, Lord. God is the one who gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. So when we submit to Jesus and allow the power of God to come upon us so that we can come against the enemy. See, God is for you. He's for the household of faith. You are all a part of the household of faith if you've given your life to him. Paul corrects the Corinthian church and says, he's basically tells them they're still carnal because they were coming against, they were causing divisions and cliques, and they're got the little groups over here, the little groups there, what have you. It's like, hey, you're still carnal. You got some growing up to do, church. Now, I'm not saying this church, but I love the fact that he said it because he was bold enough to say it. And I'm going to be bold to make this statement right here, too. There's some ministers out there that won't ever talk about racism. Now, we don't put an emphasis on racism over the gospel. We don't put an emphasis on politics over the gospel. We don't put an emphasis on anything. We don't try to major in the minors. Those are minor things. But they don't ever come out and condemn it. Well, because it's gone. I said, no, there's still people are. And if you're a minister of the gospel and you're still racist, repent or get out of the line. Turn it on over to somebody else. I don't care if you're racist because it is sin. We can condemn abortion. We can condemn same-sex marriage. We can condemn dirty politicians and things of that nature. But when it comes to racism, we don't ever want to say anything. Well, it's not that bad. Wait a minute. That's evil. Woe unto those who call evil good and good evil. It's hatred. It's a spirit of hatred. And the scripture talks about if you hate someone, it's the same thing as committing murder. Nobody wants to say anything. Now, I don't care if a person is racist. Why? It doesn't affect me. You have to live with you. I don't have to live with you. That's on you. People around you have to live with you. I'm going to pray for you. You can be racist all day long. Doesn't mind me. But if you're a minister of the gospel, you need to repent. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to take photo ops with people to make it look like, hey, no, I'm not. Hey, peace. See, I'm not. Don't try to get somebody to be your token black guy. No, or white guy. I said, there's black people that could be racist. in any shape, way, or shape, or form. You can't preach the gospel and faith works in your life through love and still have that spirit of hatred operating in your life. Nobody will come out and condemn it. I will. Well, what if they put a burning cross in your... I said, hey, we're going to decorate it. Put some lights on it. Go on Instagram Live, brother. I don't care if somebody is racist, but it is evil. And how will anybody ever repent if you don't tell them it's sinful? You can be racist all you want. I'm going to still love you. We had a gentleman that used to be here years ago. And he goes, and I've always been nice to him, just an elderly gentleman. If I said his name, you would know. He's played guitar up here years ago. Not married to anybody. But I guess he did have another wife there. But he said, you know, he sent me a message and he goes, you know, I used to be racist, you know, but you changed my heart. I didn't do anything different. I didn't even know he was. I didn't know he had any animosity towards people of color. But I'm glad he was able to come out and say something. That was pretty nice of him. He didn't have to, because I wasn't going to treat him any different. It's the ones that will hide it and then act like they're not, and then they cause a lot of problems. Some people don't like interracial marriages and will work behind the scenes in order to break up interracial marriages and then call themselves a minister of the gospel. Don't do that, because you're breaking up a covenant marriage. Let no man come between the two. You're wrong for that. And if I catch you, I'm going to pray for you. Now, you don't know if there's an A or an E in that. Lord, let's get on out of here. But our faith works by love. So we got to keep our love walk on. If you get off that love walk, get right back in. Repent and just get right back into that love walk. Why? Because God wants the best for you. He does really want the best for you, but you're going to go through some stuff. But regardless of what you go through, he's always there to help you out. His word is there. It secures us. It helps us. It guides us. It leads us. It lights our path. Hallelujah. Put that word in your heart. Whatever area you got weeds in, weed it out, what have you, weed it out, and then get the word, plant the word in. Whatever area you got going on in your life, even in your marriage, your relationships, plant the word. If God removes people out of your life, if the Lord removes people out of your life, you need to honor that, because he's doing it for a reason, because there's somewhere he needs to take you. They can't help you because they're fighting against you. It doesn't mean they can't. I said, you want to put people in different areas. I said, I had to remove somebody in my life, and that was one of the most hardest things I ever had to do, and I didn't want to do it. But I had to, because what he has for me and for my family is greater than what anybody else can give me. And it ain't going to be no man that says I prospered Tim Nunnery. It's going to be him. He's going to get the credit, and I'm going to give him the glory. So whatever you hear, understand. Be patient. God's not through with me yet. He's working on me. He's working on her. He's working on our family. He's working on this church. He's working in this city. Even when you see it, he's working. And there's going to be a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. We got to get ready. And the enemy will love nothing more than just to cause strife. Because you know the Holy Spirit won't be in a place where strife is going. He will not flow if there's strife going on in the church, in your home. So when you feel like attacking, don't. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That's like taking off your badge and saying, I'm done. I don't want this anymore. Well, how come I can't fight? I'm fighting. I'm not hitting anything. I'm not hitting it. I'm swinging, but I can't hit anything. I used to have dreams like that. How come I'm getting beat up in my own dreams? I'm swinging and I'm missing all the time. Until finally I just figured out, I'm going to just grab the sucker. But then I realized that I don't have to fight like that physically anymore. That showed me that I didn't have to fight physically because he's fighting my battles. Faith is expressed through love. Amen. Keep your love walk tight, because you'll be able to move mountains when you do. Let's stand. If there's anyone here who's never given their life to Jesus and they want to do that for the first time, you want to make him, you've never made him your Lord and Savior, and you want to do that for the first time, just raise your hand and we'll pray with you. Hallelujah. If there's anyone here who's never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you want to do that today, just raise your hand. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for everyone here. We thank you for the life, health, and strength, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can walk in that faith. We walk by faith and not by sight, and we walk with you, Lord. And whatever you have in store for us, we are yielded to you and to what you want for us. And as we continue to grow, Father God, we're not focused on the numbers. We're focused on you. Help us to continue to be a light in the midst of darkness, starting in our homes, starting in our and going into our workplaces. Help us to continue to be that in the name of Jesus. And we receive everything that you have for us by faith in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Anyone here having throat problems? You having problems swallowing? No, that ain't me. Okay, that's good. Well, if you do, Father God, we just speak healing over that in the name of Jesus. We thank you for strong knees. We thank you for a strong back in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for strong neck being loosed right now. The tension, the pressure, they don't have to carry that. Cast it onto him. Heart murmurs. We thank you for healing that. Migraines. We thank you for healing that. Hallelujah. Sinus. We thank you for healing those sinus infections in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.